You have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning to Genesis chapter 32. This is going to be the primary text that we're going to be looking at this morning. Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to be looking at, in just a few minutes, the text that Brother Jack read to us this morning in verse 32. But when we get here in Genesis chapter 32, to set the context a little bit, one thing we need to understand is that Jacob's life is in turmoil at this time. Now, he is fearful for his life and for his family's life. And you may be thinking, well, why is Jacob afraid at this moment in time? Well, the answer is pretty simple. His brother Esau has resurfaced in his life, and he thinks that Esau is out to get him. Now, you may be thinking, well, why is this a concern for Jacob? That's his brother, his twin brother. Why would his twin brother be out to get him? I know sometimes we may be away from our siblings, and we're happy to see them again when we finally get to meet. Shouldn't it be happy that he's seeing his brother again? Well, for Jacob, that's not really the case, because the previous time they met didn't necessarily go the way that the time that they had seen each other before, they didn't really leave on good terms. Turn back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And I want us to take a look at something Esau said the last time Jacob saw his brother. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Jacob was a much younger man than he is at this point in time, he had to flee for his life because his brother was going to kill him. Now we're here in Genesis chapter 32. Years have passed, and now Esau has returned into Jacob's life. And Jacob, he's afraid that things are going to pick right back up from where they left. He's afraid that his brother is still going to be out to kill him even after all of these years. So he's in turmoil at this time. Now, when we look at the past between these twin brothers, and they were twins, we can see how Esau's anger towards Jacob is justified. I think we understand why Esau is angry with his brother. Two times that we read about here, Jacob cheated his brother Esau out of something that was his. First time, he cheated him out of his birthright, and then after that, he cheated him out of his blessing that his father was to give him, that belonged to him, the oldest brother. And this is a story that all of us in here are very familiar with. We know the story of Esau selling his birthright for a bowl of what was basically bean soup. We know how Jacob and his mother deceived his father to make him believe that it was Esau he was blessing, and it was really Jacob. This is a story we're very well familiar with. You know, when we look at Jacob, we think about the great man that he was. He was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. However, when we look at Jacob in his younger days, as a young man, there's not too much about him that seems really great, if we read correctly. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel bad for Esau. I feel bad in the sense that, you know, he was deceived not only by his brother, but by his mother, who clearly showed favoritism to Jacob. And he was cheated from things that belonged to him. I mean, doesn't Esau seem to be the victim here? He was done wrong by his brother. And yet he was deceived more than once by both his brother and his mother. And we read about Esau's frustrations there in Genesis chapter 27. If you're still there, let's begin reading with verse 30. And this is shortly after Jacob had tricked his father into blessing him instead of Esau. Let's begin with verse 30 here. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." You see, Esau here, he understood something. He made an interesting point here, that his brother had been appropriately named. If we look at what Jacob meant, it meant someone who takes by the heel, someone who cheats. And he understood that his brother had been appropriately named because now he had cheated him not once, but twice, out of two things that belonged to him that should have been his. And now he owned them. Two times he did that. You see, Jacob, he had proven to be a cheat and a deceiver. His name suited him well at this time. So, sometimes when we jump back to Genesis chapter 32 and we see the distress in the life of Jacob, we see this distress that's coming on him because he knows his brother's coming back into his life. Part of me reads that and thinks, well, he's kind of just getting what's coming to him, isn't he? Because when I read this, he appears to be in the wrong, does he not? He does. And part of me likes to think, well, it's coming back to haunt him now. And Jacob, he realizes that. Because Esau, he had been wronged by Jacob. And his anger toward his brother, I think all of us in here would understand and realize that his anger was in fact justified. Because he had tricked him. You know, though this story, it does come very early in the Bible. However, it's interesting to note that this isn't the first quarrel that we've seen between two brothers in the Bible, is it? Actually, if you start reading from the very beginning of the Bible, you only have to wait four chapters till you see the first quarrel ever between two brothers. And that, of course, is with Cain and Abel. You know, Cain had become very angry with his brother Abel. However, his anger was a little different than how we may look at Esau's anger toward his brother. Because Cain's anger was born out of, I would say, jealousy. Because his brother had pleased God when he had failed to please God. And his anger is what we might would say is unjustified. And his anger, his hatred for his brother, led him to actually taking his brother's life. Now Esau had said he was going to kill Jacob. But he didn't take those actions the same way that Cain did. And so when we compare these two brothers' stories, we see a story of one brother who we feel like his anger is justified, one whose was not. And of course, Cain, he took his brother's life. So this isn't the first problem we've seen between brothers. This isn't the first quarrel. And now when we turn back to Genesis chapter 32, again, I don't know exactly how many years have passed since Jacob first fled from Esau, but it's been a decent time, and he's fearful for his life. He's in turmoil, and he's trying to protect his family, protect himself. And he's doing these things because he thinks his brother is coming back to kill him. He's afraid that his past is, in fact, catching up with him because of what he did many years ago. He's afraid it's coming back and he's going to have to pay the price for that. And then when we get to the section that was read this morning, that really begins in verse 22, we see this story that, this account that I think at times I might would describe as maybe a little bizarre. And I don't know, many of you may feel that way, but this is a really interesting story that it does in fact seem a little bizarre and maybe even a little random. But I want us to look at this what happens today. Let's begin reading with verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. So, this is happening at night. Jacob is there, and he's by himself, and maybe you can imagine just someone in the middle of the night coming up and grabbed him and start fighting him, wrestling with him. Like I said, this is a little bizarre. But we're told here that these two men wrestled until the breaking of day. So we don't know exactly how long they wrestled with each other. The breaking of day, let's say for example, would y'all say it's starting to get dark around 8 or 8:30 now? It could have been from that time until when the sun rises at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, whatever it does. I really don't know. Hopefully, I like to stay in bed before the sun's out. Either way, these two men fought for a long time. They wrestled for a long time. From the night till the breaking of day. And like I said, we don't know exactly how long that was, but this went on for a while. And again, like I said, this is really a bizarre story that we see here. And let's keep reading. Verse 25. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So it's strange enough that he's wrestling with this guy who he doesn't even know who it is. But in verse 25, we see something a little, what I would say is, again, bizarre. We see that the man realized that he wasn't winning against Jacob. So he simply touched his hip and it dislocates, pops out of socket. This isn't just any ordinary, normal man he's wrestling with, is it? I don't know about you, but I don't think I could walk up to someone this morning and touch their hip and it pop out of socket. No, I know I couldn't do that. Wouldn't that be cool if I could? I'd have a lot of fun with that. But this isn't just any ordinary man he's wrestling with. This is someone else. Someone who was able to dislocate his hip with just the touch of a finger. This is not an ordinary man. So when we keep reading verse 26, then he said, this is the man talking to Jacob. Let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. So the man has realized that he wasn't getting anywhere fighting with Jacob. His hip is out of socket. He was not prevailing against him. The day is breaking. Dawn is there. And he says, let me go. And Jacob's got a hold of him. Well, I'm not letting you go until you give me something. I've bested you. I've beaten you. What do I get out of it? I want my prize. He wanted the blessing. And the man asked him, he said, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. Jacob, he wasn't planning on letting this person go until he was going to get something out of him. Let's read verse 28. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Now things here are becoming a little more clear. We're learning something that we didn't know before. He said he had striven with who? He had striven with God. This was not an ordinary man he was wrestling. This was God that Jacob had been wrestling. And Jacob, he realizes that this is God. I mean, who else could simply walk up and dislocate someone's hip by simply touching it? This was God that he had been wrestling with. And God, he blesses Jacob. And the blessing is this. The blessing was that he was given a new name. Your name shall be Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. You see, Jacob had a name that inherently he shouldn't have been proud of. He had a name that was associated with what? With cheating, deceiving. You see, God, he's telling Jacob here, you are no longer Jacob. You are no longer this cheat, this deceiver, this person who takes people by the heel. But your name will be Israel. Because you have striven with God and men and have prevailed. This is your blessing. You're not going to be this man who you have been before. You're going to be a new man. a man who has striven with God, a man who strives with God. Let's continue reading here, picking up with verse 29. Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." He wanted to know who this man was, even though he knows. And we'll see that in just a few minutes. And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face." He knows who he had been wrestling with. "And yet my life has been delivered." The name that Jacob chooses to call this place Peniel, it means face of God. Jacob realizes who he had been wrestling with here. It wasn't just a man. It was God. And here he makes an interesting statement in verse 30. He says something, he says, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Well, this could be a little confusing because if we look back, the man had just told Jacob that he had done what? That he had prevailed against him. But yet here Jacob is saying, "My life has been delivered by God." You see, Jacob understood something that was very important for him to understand here. He did not prevail against God because he was better or because he was stronger. He prevailed because God allowed him to. He had been delivered by God. Something very important that Jacob understood here. Verse 31, it says, "The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." Jacob is walking away from this place different than how he got there. When he arrived at this place, he was physically whole. Now he's walking away with a limp. He arrived there physically whole, but spiritually broken. And now he's walking away physically broken, but spiritually whole. Because he understands he was delivered by God, who he saw face to face. And it wasn't because he prevailed against God, because he was stronger, because he was better. It was because God allowed him to win. Now he was walking away from this place, a new man. So, what's the application here? How can we apply this to our lives today? Well, it's as simple as this. There are people probably in this room today who are wrestling with God. Over what? I can't tell you. I don't know. That's something only you and God know. Maybe it's something in your life that's keeping you from fully committing to God. And maybe it's the fact that you've been fighting and you've been struggling and you're just trying to hold on to what you've been and not trying to move forward to what you could be. You know, God, He was calling Jacob here to be something better. To be something better than a cheat, than a deceiver. But as we all know in our personal lives, change doesn't always come easy, does it? And it didn't come easy to Jacob because he had been that way his whole life. Literally, from birth, he came out grasping on to his brother's heel. He had been like that since birth, and change didn't come easy. However, he did change. Jacob did change. And if we read ahead in chapter 33, we see that it's not just Jacob who has changed in these years, but someone else has changed too. Let's read chapter 33 starting with verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with all of her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." You see, that hate that Esau once held toward his brother, it wasn't there anymore. He was happy to see his brother after all this time had passed. They have this meeting, this embrace that really, if you read in Luke chapter 15, you see a very similar thing happen between the father and his son. Esau, he didn't hate his brother anymore. The arrogance that Jacob once had with his brother, it wasn't there anymore. Notice that Jacob refers to himself as Esau's what? As his servant. He refers to himself as his brother's servant. And Isaac had told Esau in Genesis 27, verse 37, he told him that he had made Jacob lord over him because he received that blessing. And even at that, Jacob tells his brother, he says, "I am your servant." So we see change here on both Jacob and Esau. You know, I for one am very happy to see that Jacob and Esau were able to solve their differences. This has an ending that makes us happy. Even though they experience turmoil, things end up well. You know, and we don't read about any more conflicts between these two brothers anymore in the book of Genesis. But we do know that they buried their father together in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 29. So my question this morning for you is this. Why wrestle with God? I know change is not easy. Change is difficult. It's something that we like to fight off. In this case, Jacob was literally fighting off that change that he needed to make. There may be people in this room this morning, and you're wrestling with God. There's something that's holding you back from being what you could be. Jacob, he experienced that change. He wasn't going to be that cheat, that deceiver anymore. He was going to be the man strives with God. Don't you want to be someone this morning, here today, who strives with God? You have an opportunity to do that this morning. If you never put on Jesus, the name of Jesus, through baptism, you can come here today with faith, ready to make that change you need to, realizing that this person that I've been, this person wrestling with God, this isn't who I need to be. I'm ready to change. You can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be baptized for remission of your sins and leave here a child of God this morning. It may be that you've done these things and maybe you're wrestling with God today over something else. Something that maybe no one in here knows except you and God. You have an opportunity to make that right this morning too. Whatever your need may be, please come while we stand and sing.